Scotto and John, Mr. Vladimir Constantine would like to have you for zombie takeout. Hello, and welcome to episode 494 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some news. This is about Neil Breen's new movie. He posted, I saw this on Facebook, probably on other social medias as well.
Yeah.
He announced on his socials that he has completed his sixth film. There's no website, trailer, or even a title yet, but he said, quote, "It's bigger and much different from anything I've done before. You are all going to love it."
Excellent job at promoting there, Mr. Breen.
Yeah. I'm not going to say a hunch because this is out there. This is my out there guess. It's actually going to be a legitimately good movie. This is where he proves he's been in on the joke the whole time. He makes a real movie for once.
No, not a chance. But I have a feeling we have to review it, of course.
Oh, of course.
As soon as it comes out.
As soon as we can, we will be reviewing the new movie. And that brings us to this week's movie from 2022, Sharkula, concluding our Halloween Shark two-parter. This episode will be out on Halloween Day, so happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by money. You don't need it to make a movie, but it helps.
And also brought to you by the Bucket of Chum. Maybe it's a bucket of friends. The definition of chum was,
I thought about that for a title. Couldn't quite work it.
Well, I realized as soon as I saw a proper name of something, I'm going to do this from now on. As soon as I see a proper name in a film, I'm just going to write it out and then come up with the tag later. All right. So we've got a couple. Where to start with this? Oh. We have a fire dancer, of course. Yeah.
Well, that was the opening credits. We had Dracula getting chased off a cliff first.
Well, right. I'm just talking about the main character of the movie, the fire dancer, right?
Most important character.
You can't have a movie without a fire dancer.
Interspersed throughout the movie, there was footage, clearly stock footage, because it was much higher def than anything else, of a woman dancing with fire sticks.
Yeah, and it was just, kind of the scene-changing visual for some reason.
And if you've ever looked at stock footage on, a website, those sites that sell it, it was clearly that.
Yes.
They all kind of look the same.
And, so we have the Dracula being chased by angry townspeople. He falls off a cliff into the sea. Where he encounters a shark. You know what? He kind of is the friend of the shark after all. So he was, I guess, a chum.
Yeah. In both senses.
They of course spell out pretty well. They don't spell out, but they imply what happens that the shark.
You see the shark take a bite of his arm, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, when he comes back, and you know what's going on. Yeah. You pretty much assume what has happened here pretty easily. But don't worry, they'll spell it out for you in the movie. It's because now it is in the present day, and we have two guys who are looking for work. So they come to this town to do some odd jobs. It was very Newhart, Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. I mean, wasn't their business in that show literally anything for a buck when they started out? Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much, you're going to move some things of dirt around.
I got the impression these guys were college students, like, looking for a first job with no money.
Yeah, something like that. But, the college students can take, like, a summer up in Alaska to work the cannery. Mm-hmm. And, it was one of those deals, only this was a strange New England town.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't, when they get there, they find they won't be able to leave. They have an 8 o'clock curfew. They can't associate with anybody in the town. And,
a lot of very specific rules.
Yeah. that most likely someone would just be like, I'm not going to do this for a whole summer. I think I'm just going to go and find somewhere else.
Yeah.
But of course, you'd have no movie, so they stay. And
it's implied that these guys have no money, so they stay.
Yeah. They ask questions. One of them asks questions. The other reads a Dracula comic that somehow the other person can't see the cover of it. It was probably one of the funniest scenes. What are you reading? There's on the cover. Dracula, right there.
And of course, the one who asks the questions is the red shirt.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't think that was kind of a neat swerve, because usually the one that asks questions is the one that actually survives, because he's aware there's something wrong.
True.
But he instead gets, he instead becomes shark food. Because you see, Dracula is serving the shark now, as you know, the shark is his master, and he has to give sacrifices to the shark. And then he decides later on he decides he wants to be free of the shark, so he conspires with the with one of the kids and this woman that he's been trying to get with for some time, that to kill the shark, and he will let them both go. And they have a, you know, what he thinks is a sacrifice. They turn on him, and hilarity ensues.
Especially after that turn.
Yeah.
But back to the beginning. That opening shot, someone on IMDb called it the worst day-to-night shot in the history of film. They just, like, vignetted the camera to make it look like a night shot, but they were clearly running through, like, the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, that's right. That was supposed to be at nighttime when the townspeople are chasing about. I didn't even think about that.
It was just a really bad effect.
It looked like they were doing it in broad daylight.
Yeah. And the extras acting, I'll call it, just like, they picked a bunch of random friends to just run with these pitchforks after this actor. Surprisingly, a lot of the cast have significant IMDb's.
Really?
Like 30-something roles in the last, like, 5 years. probably all movies like this. Loved the cartoon blood. One of the townspeople chasing Dracula throws a knife at him. It goes in, and you see literally cartoon blood coming up from it.
It didn't make any sense, because isn't splatter cheaper than CGI?
Yeah, I would have thought that, like, just having someone below frame, you know, toss up some, ketchup or carrot syrup and, you know, die.
Yeah, it's literally a buck and change to do it.
But they went with the CG.
For some reason, they went with bad CG.
I think maybe for the comedic appeal.
Maybe. That's what I would think, because why else would you do it?
Then we see the shark, which looked better than anything else in the movie. At least in those opening shots when it was CG. Later we get the toy, which was just hilarious.
Yes. It was pretty much an SNL skit that went on for an hour or 10.
But after that shot, that scene where Dracula jumps into the water, makes a deal with the shark, we get this intolerably long monologue at just giving exposition on what we just saw, basically.
Yes. There's a lot of that. They explain it, and then they explain it again. I'm not sure why they played this so straight, because, I mean, it's obvious from the effects. They had a sense of humor about it.
Well, I like that about it, that they played it straight, even though it was obviously ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because even given how straight they played it, it wasn't like last week.
Yeah.
I love the surfy opening music, very Sharknado.
Hey, the fact that they named the town Arkham.
I was wondering if that was a Batman or a Lovecraft reference.
I assumed it was Batman, but you're probably right. Probably Lovecraft.
Lovecraft stuff is set in Arkham, so could have been either. Given the subject matter, a vampire bats, you know, could have been Batman too.
Yeah.
Could have been both. Speaking of the bucket of chum, loved the Photoshop sign.
Yes.
And it was a still shot. I have Photoshop. I play in Photoshop all the time. I know that font.
But the problem is, of course, It wasn't American owned. That was the clue that Dracula was a liar from the beginning.
Incidentally, this is later in the film. He mentions that he brought Renfield over from the old country. What was the old country? Brooklyn? Because they both have like these accents. They sound like faked Brooklyn accents.
Yeah, the accents are... I don't even know what... It was a Costner accent.
Imagine someone doing a bad job of sounding like Ad-Rock.
And Renfield was pretty much dressed like Torgo.
Yeah, pretty much. And I like that they pointed out Renfield. They were already aware of the Dracula story, and here's this guy, Renfield. And the actor they picked for him, who also has like 30-something credits, was hilariously bad. These no-budget movies, for me, just have a particular charm that I adore.
This one, you could easily laugh at the effects.
Loved the first victim, the drunk on the dock.
Right.
The best scenery chewing in the movie, aside from the toy shark. Loved the shark with wings. You know, particularly when you see him in the air, he looks like a dragon.
And you could just see the shaking of it. Yeah, like when somebody was either swinging it or holding it by hand.
The Halloween masks on the zombies. A couple of scenes where they talk and their mouths don't move because they're, you know, like Spencer style Halloween masks. Also, Renfield sniffing and fetishizing the sacrifice's underwear.
I found the whispering annoying. And at first, I thought it was because the vampire never left his coffin. You know, when they first did it. And then when he was out in the evening, it was kind of like, wait, why are you trying to communicate with the coffin during the daytime if you could just ask him at night when he's out?
Yeah. And then we get to the hippies, who were these random hippies who had car trouble.
That whole sequence was definitely the most batshit.
The only victims who matter in the film, who have any import later in the film, but they're having car trouble. They get out of the car. The car is clearly just parked in the middle of someone's lawn.
Right. It was supposed to be that they were on a road broken down. Mm-hmm. They get out. The car is just either in the middle of a park or it's on someone's lawn. I can't tell where it was. In fact, I think it had like the dealership plate.
That wouldn't surprise me. The guy goes away to get help and gets pulled into the water by, Sharkula's trance. And then suddenly something flies through the window and attacks the woman.
Right. He opens the hood of the car, just kind of looks at the engine without even, like, getting into it or anything. Just be like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then... We're supposed to believe there's a body of water somewhere near this field of grass, which, of course, no way.
Like a short walk away.
Yeah, just a short walk. Like they're on the beach practically, even though they were driving on a road and it's just a field of grass that water somehow goes up against, like the ocean. And then, somehow she gets attacked from the thing in the car, and I was thinking, like, why couldn't last week's movie have been more like this?
Yeah. This is what we wanted last week.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the one guy, Andy, I think his name was, the one who didn't die, was reading a magazine called Dracula Lives, and he claimed that he was reading Bram Stoker in that.
Right. It was that's true. It was a comic book, yet he was saying it was reading Bram Stoker.
I loved the scene with Mina, and yes, the Dracula's crush is named Mina, so I appreciate that, connection to the original. The scene with her and Drac in the archive, she is so clearly trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
And again, she's got like 40 credits. I'm kind of amazed at how much these people have worked, given what I've seen in this movie. Because it looks like a movie where people just roped in their friends to play roles.
Yeah, very much does. Maybe some community theater people.
And you maybe have done like other super low budget movies. Yeah. Like a ton of them. Yeah, because these can't take long to film. So you could easily bang out a handful of them in a year.
Right. This reminds me a lot of that movie. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember what it was where they were the Renfair people, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of that the other day. The last one Jen sat in on. It very much like that. Yeah.
And they had a fire dancer too, but I think it was actually
Yeah, it
somebody.
was someone because they're Renfire people, so you know, of course they have a fire dancer. Now the hippie woman, when she get after she gets attacked, you find out it was Dracula who attacked her in bat form, and she gets
Oh, right.
taken back to his dungeon, tied up. He uses her to kill Renfield. He throws Renfield at her, has her eat him, because he had already turned her. Before he throws Renfield at her hands are tied, but then she catches Renfield.
Yeah, somehow.
Maybe it was all set up, I don't know.
And he falls after he dies. There's no way she could be able to get to him.
Right.
He's out of reach. It's the equivalent of putting like the food, you know.
Yeah. Now, I liked getting Jackie's perspective on the opening scene.
Nah, it could either have not shown the intro that in the opening scene, or had him explain what happened now, but to do both is just kind of like, yeah, we know. We were there, man.
I also liked his face turn, you know,
Oh,
when he helps up helping them kill Sharkula.
I liked Renfield's quick turn, actually. Like, we're just like, what's your problem, asshole? Just out of nowhere. It's like, wait, what? When they start to tangle.
But yeah, Drac tells them how to kill the shark. I got a kick out of it. His just sudden turn there from being the villain to being one of the good guys briefly.
But you knew he was. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, it was
before
obvious
he
he was going to
said,
turn back,
trust me
yeah.
and stuff, it was kind of like, oh boy.
So he turns on them. I almost said Sharknado. Sharkula goes after Dracula, and suddenly Dracula has gills. I fucking loved that.
You know, it's funny for when he retells the story for the intro. I actually have in my notes because it was he actually says, "You mind if I share my story?" And I put my notes, "No, please don't share the story."
He grows gills but can still breathe on land, tries to kill the remaining college guy, and Mina has the line, if you trying to stop him from killing the college guy, if you love me, obey me. There's so much wrong with that line.
And then, of course, he pulls one of those little crosses out on Dracula, and he kind of disappears. But of course, they did a
They
I
set up for a
Smell
sequel.
sequel.
And it was just came out this year, so new sequels yet.
No,
On to Brains.
other brains.
It was everything I wanted from a ridiculous no-budget movie. I'm going five.
I enjoyed it for the most part. There's just too much dialogue, though. The scenes are, the effects are funny, and there's some things that you're just like, whatever. So I'm going 2.5.
And what have we learned?
And the job still beat digging ditches, though. I mean, just so you move some stuff around. What's the big deal?
Now I learned that John was right. Knew I couldn't resist that one. And that's it for Sharkula until 3 weeks from now, because you're taking the next 2 weeks off, when we'll be reviewing Repo: The Genetic Opera. I've heard about this one for years. I still haven't seen it. It'll be interesting. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there
There
you
you
are.
are.